Please turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now, before we get into this, let's talk about something. Actually, I'm doing the talking. I talk, you listen. Earlier today, Joe Biden was inaugurated as the President of the United States. Now, it's over. All right? Now, I know that some of you out there, you still got, I don't know what it is you've got. No, it's not over. Technically, I understand that. But as far as him being inaugurated, it's over. Okay? Get that settled. It's over. Now, does that mean something couldn't happen to where maybe here in the days, weeks, months, next year, whatever, some legal things come up concerning the election and bribes, and money from Russia, money from China, whatever, and that he is in a position of maybe having to resign? I mean, that happened with President Nixon. Well, that could happen. But is that what you want to happen? Because you do know that Kamala Harris would then be the president. And you do know that there would be a vice president appointed to take her place. You understand that, right? Now, if a vice president is appointed, and since Congress is basically run, the House and the Senate, run by Democrats now, you do understand that whoever she says I'd like to have as the vice president is more than likely going to be approved. Do you understand that? Okay, now I'm going to let you in on something. About 2 or 3 months ago, I was doing some reading, and apparently there is talk of such a scenario happening, and of her appointing or requesting Pete Buttigieg being the vice president. Now, he is openly homosexual, married to a man. So, they're already talking about somebody to be the replacement for vice president. And then if something were to happen to her, guess who would be your president? And you may be thinking, well, that's just a bunch of nonsense. I'm not trying to stir stuff up. I'm not. I'm just telling you, there are already people 2-3 months ago who were looking ahead and saying, hey, you everybody need to be aware of this potential. Could it be? That is exactly what the liberal faction in the Democrat Party has wanted, for Pete Buttigieg to be the president. Because if it is, well, here's the setup right now for it to happen. Now, I'm not saying I'm not prophesying. Yeah, I'm not. What I'm saying is this. There's some stuff that's going to happen, and we don't know everything that's going to happen. Ideally, both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will have a visitation by an angel that will scare them into repentance. That's a possibility. Wouldn't that throw a monkey wrench in the plans of the liberals? All right, well, let's get back to the whole thing. And please don't anybody say, well, Pastor Jim said that. No, Pastor Jim didn't say it was going to happen. But let's get back to what did happen. Joe Biden was sworn in today as our president. He is the president of the United States. Now, some people are going to do with him like they did with Barack Obama, like they did with Bill Clinton. Well, he's not my president. Are you a citizen of the United States? Then get off your high horse. He is your president. Like it or not, he is your president. So what's happened? All right, let's review a little. When it came down to Donald Trump versus Joe Biden for the election, we had prophets and people who wanted to prophesy telling us Donald Trump is going to win. Guaranteed. The Lord showed me. The Lord spoke to me and told me Donald Trump was going to win. And some seemed to imply it was going to be a landslide victory. So that's what we were, many of us, many Christians, that's what we put our money on. And on the Tuesday of the election, we went to bed that night looking pretty good for President Trump. We wake up the next morning, it's like, what happened? What's going on? How could this have changed so much? Well, it was very obvious. I mean, statistically, I'm not a statistician, but I can read. Statistically, how that happened overnight of the election, it's impossible. I mean, the odds are like a gabillion to 0.01 or something. I mean, it just can't happen, but it did. So we ended up with all this talk about the election fraud and the rigged voting machines and on and on. Well, we heard from political people, legal people, and prophets. Here's what's going to happen in the next couple of days. Well, a couple of days go by, it didn't happen. Well, here's what's going to happen. The next, here's what's going to happen, was spoken. Here's what's going to happen by the end of the week. Well, it didn't happen. Then the next, here's what's going to happen. And here's what's going to take place in this court case, and here's what's going to take place in this state, and here's how it's going to be handled by this and that and the other, and then the Supreme Court's going to do this. I mean, we kept hearing these things over and over and over again, and one by one, none of them happened. Not one. Well, then we heard over the last week, we heard President Trump is going to declare martial law and the military is going to get involved and et cetera and so on and so forth. And what I said at that time, this past Sunday, what I said, well, you know, we'll wait and see. I mean, everything else that was said was going to happen. It never happened. Never came to pass. I said, well, martial law, if that's what it takes, then let it happen. But, you know, let's wait and see. All right, we waited, we've seen, and guess what? No martial law. Didn't happen. So, here we are. Honestly, it's like we were the donkeys following that carrot on a stick. And we wanted to believe everything that came along. But by the time it got to like the last couple of weeks, I mean, I didn't say a whole lot, but I'm thinking, ain't nothing changing. It's not going to change. Joe Biden's going to be named. I mean, I didn't say it, and there's a part of me that kept wanting to, you know, no, I want to believe it's not going to happen this way, but it did. That's the way it is, all right? Now, here's what's going to happen in the days to come. And I don't know what news feeds or what prophets or who you follow on Facebook and whatever, but you're going to hear people say things like, they're going to tell you something's going to happen and the inauguration and the election is going to be overturned and Donald Trump's going to be returned back to office and blah, blah, blah. And so you're going to hear all kinds of stuff out there. Okay, do you think that's going to happen? I mean, do you really, you haven't heard it yet, but I heard a little bit of it this afternoon. I wasn't sure what to make of what I read, but guys, come on. Wake up. What happened, happened. Joe Biden has been sworn in, and until something else happens, he is the President of the United States. People are talking about, well, Donald Trump is setting up for another run in 4 years. Maybe. But here's the deal. Folks, you got to get your eyes off Donald Trump and on to God. Now, hopefully none of you in here have this problem. But there's a bunch of them out there, Christians now. They got their eyes on Donald Trump. And quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if when we get to heaven, God says, hey, I yanked him out of office because you guys were making him your Messiah. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. And I'm really sorry when people twist my words and so on and so forth, but a lot of people were so twisted in their perception and their perspective throughout this election. There were people out there saying things like, well, I just don't like the way Donald Trump spoke. You know, the things he said, the name calling and all that. So that's why I'm not going to vote for him. Man, that's foolish. I mean, seriously, that is ultimately super foolish. Because what they were doing is voting for a personality as opposed to a policy. And so you have people, I've heard this before. Well, I'm going to vote for so-and-so. You know, it's time for a change. What does that mean? Time for a change. When people say things like this, what they're telling you is, when I'm talking about Christians now, especially Christians, what they're telling you is, they're really clueless. I mean, they honestly do not have a walk with God that they should have. What happened during the past 4 years? We had a man as our president who really didn't give a rip about the good old boy political system. And what he did pretty much pulled back the curtain so that we could see more clearly what's going on. And in spite of that, people still voted for Joe Biden. So what do we do here? Well, let's take a look in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, just look at verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Look over in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And look at verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now look in Proverbs 15. Verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And now Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Here's what's been going on. You've had a lot of people, and I'm speaking to the body of Christ, you've had a lot of Christians who did not like the way that Donald Trump tweeted and spoke, held his speeches, and so on and so forth, the name calling and what all. And if you're on social media with other Christians, it is inevitable that sooner or later you saw Christians posting things that were totally out of line and fit the very description of what we've been reading in these last few verses about the tongue of the evil and the tongue of the wicked. They were very critical of President Trump. And what's interesting is that in their criticism, they actually did the same thing they were criticizing. They talked so harshly about him calling him names, and yet they were doing the same thing. The same thing they were saying they didn't like. And here in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you realize part of what we're seeing right now is all of the vile, evil, wickedness spoken forth by believers has come to pass in this election. They have seen elected what they were speaking. You say, what do you mean? What did we just read? The evil, the wickedness, the foolishness coming out of their mouths. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And now you're going to have people turning around and saying the same things about Joe Biden. Christians. Well, you know what? As believers, we have power in our words. By our words, we can cast down powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, the high places, and so on and so forth. We have the ability to do that. We can speak and people can be healed. We can speak and miracles can happen. We can speak, devils can be cast out. We can speak and things can change. That's the power of our words as believers. God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. And part of that has to do with functioning man, humanity, functioning in creation the way God functions, which takes us back to speech, what we say. So now here we are. We're looking at a situation that's not good, at least not in the natural. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is still on the throne, your heart's not troubled. Oh, you may not like the situation, but remember, Jesus was raised under Roman rule. Jesus ministered under Roman rule. Now think about this. Every person that was healed by Jesus when he was here on earth, every single one of them, they were healed under an oppressive regime that said, you Jews answer to us. Every time that Jesus ministered to people, he did it under that regime. The thousands of people, think about this. Thousands of people, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people showed up to hear him minister. And on two occasions, he said, you know what? We need to feed these people. And the people were fed miraculously. And yet, there sat Caesar in Rome. And a lot of Christians want to talk about how bad things are going to be under this administration. I don't think it's going to approach how bad things were under Rome. And in spite of that, if we keep focusing on what we think will happen over the next 4 years, we're missing what God wants to happen over the next 4 years. He wants us to be as Christ in this world. Symbolically, He wants us on the hillside teaching and ministering and then feeding the thousands. He wants us to continue the Great Commission. And I'm telling you right now, that's not going to happen if believers take a look at Washington, D.C. to see who's in the White House and who's doing this and what's being passed now and what are they signing now, what decrees coming forth now. If you keep doing that, you're going to miss out on revival. God can't use somebody in revival if they're not looking to Him. If they're not looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The entire New Testament was written under Roman rule. And now here we are. I understand that people don't like the potential, the what could be. I understand that. I don't like it either. But you know what? Guys, we can have revival in spite of it, and we will have revival in spite of it. They can, They can make all kinds of regulations, but I'm telling you right now, no government regulates the Holy Spirit. No government regulates the Word of God. No government can say the Bible is no longer relevant. Oh, they can say it, but they cannot dismiss the relevance of Scripture for humanity. They simply can't do that. And this is where we stand. Right now, we're at a crossroads. You know, it's amazing how that when Barack Obama was elected the first time, Christians, they kind of just, so many of them, it's like they threw up their hands and said, what's the use? You know, oh, everything's going to be horrible, horrible, horrible. Well, for 8 years, a lot of horrible things happened. But look what happened after that. Donald Trump was elected, and my goodness, we saw a turnaround, the likes of which nobody really anticipated. Incredible things happened. Well, now here we are. You know, some Christians might say, well, you know, two steps forward, four steps backward. Really? I've got news for you. Jesus Christ is still Lord. He's still Lord. What are we going to do? Well, look over here. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. See, a message like this tonight, it really shouldn't be necessary. But because there are so many Christians that really, they are so horribly immature, they're going to do whatever their emotions tell them instead of what God has laid out in His Word. I'm not presenting myself as having fully attained to the fullness of the image of Christ. But what I'm saying is this. Look, I understand things differently than what I did years ago, and I've grown to a point now to where I understand the danger of not following what God has laid out in His Word. Now here in Matthew chapter 5, take a look at verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Okay, we have a choice. Now, do you see this? Jesus was teaching kingdom principles. And a kingdom principle is this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Okay, now, we have a choice as Christians. We can either be a peacemaker or a stirrer up of trouble. You say, well, how would we do that? How do you make peace? How do you make peace with the pagans? Well, blessed are they which are peacemakers. Look in verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, you know what? There's a bunch of people out there right now. I could say, okay, yeah, in the natural, they're my enemy. And boy howdy, has a bunch of them have cursed us. And they hate me because I stand up for Christ. They despitefully use me and they persecute me. They tell me I'm a fool. They tell me I'm dumb. They tell me I'm nothing. They tell me I should be removed from society because I'm the stumbling block to great progress. I speak for those who truly are following after Christ. They want to purge. Honestly, so many of them, if they had their way, they would remove all true followers of Jesus Christ from this country. I don't know where they'd send us, but they'd remove us. They'd send us somewhere. If they could, they would. You need to understand that. They would. They're that mean. They are these people described in verse 44. How do I become a peacemaker? I love my enemy. I bless them that curse me. Do good to them that hate me. Pray for them which despitefully use me and persecute me. This is how I make peace. Even if I'm not in their presence, even if I'm not around them, this is how I make peace. This is what I do. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do you want to be blessed? There is a blessing for Christians who do Matthew 5:44. Blessed are the peacemakers. I'm doing what I can to establish peace. Remember all those verses we read, Psalms and Proverbs, the good side of your tongue. How that by our speech, we can have an impact on those who don't like us by virtue of what we say. One of the worst things that you can do is start posting stuff that is negative about anybody who got elected. I'm very serious. And what I've done in the past, I'm going to continue doing. If I see posts like that, I will unfriend. Because I don't want to see it. I don't want to be a part of it. It's wrong. I want to be a peacemaker. I've already been praying for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I've been praying for them before the inauguration. Why? They need Jesus. They need Jesus, guys. He went to the cross for them just like He went to the cross for you. And I need to do verse 44. Because this is a kingdom instruction. This is not a suggestion. This, call it a commandment, a kingdom commandment. Jesus Christ Himself says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Declare the word of God. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Now, look over in Romans 12. This, I don't know if you remember the Andy Griffith Show. That was one of my favorites, still is. And there was one particular episode where something was going on, I forget what it was. And they wanted to stop something, and Barney Fife said, you gotta nip it in the bud. You gotta nip it in the bud. Alright? This message tonight is trying to nip in the bud a lot of stuff that some people could be pulled into. If your walk with Christ is inconsistent based upon who is in the White House, then guess what? You're not as far along as God as you may think. In Romans chapter 12, look at verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How could you be overcome with evil? By allowing yourself to be sucked into all the rhetoric. You know, if you've got friends and family, they post the mean stuff, the hateful stuff, then one of the things that you can do is just reply, well, in spite of all that, I'm going to do Matthew 5:44 because that's what Jesus commanded. And leave it at that. Now, a bunch of them won't even know what Matthew 5:44 is. I'm talking Christians. They have to go look it up. And then don't be surprised if they come back at you and start hammering you because you're going to do what Jesus said to do. Folks, you've got a lot of people out there, Christians. I mean, they're like, it's just like they're adult bodies, but they're a bunch of babies in a daycare. I mean, it's really sad. Very sad. If you look over in Romans chapter, well, you're in chapter 12, look in chapter 13. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now this does not mean that God is the one that puts every mean, evil, horrible person in office. All throughout history. Remember, Rome was in rule back then. This is talking about the order and the structure of authority. That is ordained of God. Now, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. We cannot imagine the impact this had on Jews and Gentiles living under Roman rule. Now, not all Caesars were horrible, but generally, Rome. Talk about disciplinarians? Yeah. And so now here, here's Paul, he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. Subject means honor and respect. Whether you agree with a policy or not, honor and respect. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means this is God passing along an instruction to us, and we should take heed to it. In verse 2, look at this. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You got people out there, they are laying up some very nasty stuff for them on the day of judgment. When he says resist, do you realize you can resist by virtue of your words and the things that you share in person and on social media? Guys, you don't want to go there. God's warning you. Don't do this. In verse 3, he says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now, I want you to listen to this. Think about this. A lot of people think that, you know, or a lot of people seem to think that Nancy Pelosi is Satan dressed in a woman's body. All right, now, she does seem to stand for a lot of things that are totally contrary to the Word of God. But, what do you think would happen if you met her and in the conversation you made it very clear, well, you know, I am a Christian, you know, I stand on the Bible. I mean, you make it clear who you are, what you are, and so forth. And maybe you can start to feel a little bit of tension because she's not sure what's coming next. What if you just started just drenching her with words of love? Not words of approval, words of love. Do you understand she's going to walk away from that conversation? Well, Ms. Pelosi, I just want you to know that I appreciate your willingness to stand in political office. That's not an approval of policy. That is you saying, well, hey, a lot of people don't want to go into politics because of all the junk they'd have to face. I get that. The point I'm making is, if you looked at her and said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Is there anything that you'd like me to pray about? I mean, anything in your family or something? Because I really do, I mean, I care about you. And I want you to know God's love. How many people have ever said that to her? And if you did that, you know what's going to happen? She's going to walk away from that conversation. It will stay with her. And if she ever sees you again, guess what? There's going to be favor rise up within her toward you because she doesn't see you as a threat. She doesn't see you as somebody who's mean and hateful and spiteful. She'll see you as somebody who appears to be what a Christian ought to be. Do you understand this? He says, thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. You say, I don't understand how that could be possible. This is what God intends for them to be. It's not necessarily what they will be. You have to understand that. God isn't telling you that every person in leadership within politics is going to be good to you. No, what he's saying is this is the way God wants it to be within the government. He says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, you need to be in subjection, showing that respect, doing Matthew 5:44, because if you don't, you could be facing the wrath of God, let alone the wrath of that person. But also for your conscience sake, because if you start acting in a way that is contrary to your government leaders, you know what's going to start happening? You'll be searing your conscience to the voice of God. And he says here in verse 6, for this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. He didn't say the taxes would be fair. He's saying, you know what, fair or not, pay them, stop murmuring, and leave the rest to me. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to him whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Guys, remember, this is not God saying approve of everything they do. He's saying respect them. Because God honors authority. Think about, you know, here's God. He sends Samuel to anoint David to be the king of Israel. But somebody else was already the king. And long story short, David had an opportunity to kind of get even in a way. And David said, I will not touch God's anointed. And he was talking about a man who's trying to kill him, Saul. He said, I won't touch God's anointed. And in essence, it was like David was saying, when it's my time, I'll be there. Because I already know that God has anointed me to be king. So when that time comes, I'll be on the throne. But between now and then, I will respect the king who's sitting on that throne, no matter how bad, how evil, or how much he hates me, or how much he wants to kill me. I'm going to respect this. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All right, I'm going to say something that some people might think, I just gone off the deep end. Taking too many drugs in my life. He says, give thanks for all, for kings and those who are in authority. Do you understand that today, what that means, when we pray, we should be thanking God for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. You say, yep, you're right, Brother Martin. Too many drugs. You've gone nuts. No, what's this say? This is the Word of God, not the Word of you know, me. And now he says that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, because this is good, acceptable in the sight of God, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, notice verses, the verse 2, 3, and 4 come after verse 1. Do you understand this? In other words, now look here. In verse 1, God tells us supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks are supposed to be made for kings and all that are in authority. See that? He says, here's what I want you to do. And if you do this, this will have an impact on you leading a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, because He wants all to be saved. Do you realize if we do verse 1... If the body of Christ were to do verse 1, it would absolutely impact what is happening in Washington, D.C. Absolutely. If the body of Christ collectively, with against every emotion, lift their hands and say, Father God, I thank you for Joe Biden, and I thank you for Kamala Harris. I thank you for the members of the House of Representatives. I thank you for the members of Senate. The Senate, I thank you, Father. Do you realize if we did that and prayed for them, what it does, it sets in motion a spiritual principle that God is revealing right here in this passage. I'm telling you right now, the next 4 years don't have to be full of turmoil, junk, and all kinds of bad things that Christians say, it's going to be this and it's going to be that. You know what? Why don't we do what God says right here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Could it be we'll change the outcome of the next 4 years if we do? And not only that, God is saying, if you'll do this, it's good and acceptable in my sight because I want all men to be saved. Do you realize what he's saying here? If you do verse 1, it will directly have an impact on those in leadership as to how freely God's going to be able to get the gospel into their lives. We will enhance their potential to be born again if we do verse 1. I hope you're seeing this. I hope the body of Christ sees this. Because God is laying out we read these kind of things and sometimes it's like, okay, well, you know, that's nice, that's poetic, that's sweet. What's in the next chapter? No, God is revealing to us a spiritual principle. And I've talked about this before, the cause and effect of Scripture. How that if we do this, this is the result. But if we don't do this, then this is not the result. Here's a perfect example. God says, if you do verse 1, here's what's going to happen in verses 2, 3, and 4. This will happen. It's not an if. It's not a maybe. This will happen. The problem that we have in the body of Christ is so few of us seem to understand this. See, when God speaks something like this, He says, here it is. Then you know what? It won't return void. This will accomplish what He says. So in spite of all of our misgivings, if we start declaring, Father, I thank You for Joe Biden. I thank You for Kamala Harris. Father, I love them with the love of Christ. Father, I want their lives blessed. I want them to be blessed by Your presence, blessed by Your love, blessed by Your mercy. Look, guys, what else are you going to do? Fuss and complain and bring about all that negative stuff that we've read about? No. If we want things to go well for us, this is what we have to do. Look over in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Okay, that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm putting you in mind to do these things. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. Well, I guess that means you can't be out there rioting with everybody else. To be no brawlers but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Verse 3 pretty much describes a lot of Christians here lately. And God is saying, speak evil of no men. Don't do it. God is saying, don't do it. Because all you're going to do is stir up in the realm of the Spirit, more problems, more trouble. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Or honor the president. See this? In other words, don't be standing up and saying, I'm not. Here's an example. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the president says. I ain't wearing no mask. Really? Well, according to Scripture, you better. And the simple little thing of saying, I ain't wearing no mask. I don't care what the governor says. I can't speak for any of the other 49 states. But in Ohio, here's the rule. Every store, every place of business, restaurants, sign right up there says you have to wear a mask if you want to enter. And if you cop the attitude of, I ain't wearing no mask, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, they tell you what to do every time you get in your car and drive. Speed limit, 35. If you don't wear the mask, You are in the rebellion that God's talking about here. Guys, it's a mask. Look at this. Little bitty thing. Mask. Big deal. Wear it. Just wear it. And be pleasing unto God. See, this whole thing of wearing the mask, do you know why I wear it when I go out and around? I wear it because that's the rule. I'm not afraid of getting sick. I'm not afraid that I'm going to, you know, catch some kind of weirdo sickness, virus. I'm not afraid of that. I seriously am not. But because right now, the restrictions, the laws, the ordinance is wear the mask. I wear the mask. I want to be able to stand before God and say, look, it was an inconvenience. My nose got itchy. Sometimes it just my ears hurt from the string and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Until they said, you don't have to wear it anymore, I wore it. This sounds like a very simple thing, but guys, this is exactly what God is talking about in His Word. He's not saying you're going to like every ordinance. He's not going to say you're going to be happy with every law. Now, granted, if they say things like, burn your Bibles! Okay, that's where we draw the line. And I'm not burning my Bible. And sorry if that disappoints you. But I'm not doing that. There comes a point to where, okay, wearing a mask is not an attack on righteousness. Wearing a mask is perceived by some as protection. Bottom line is this. God is saying, be subject. Be subject. Do what's right. Honor authority. Pray for them. Love them. Even if your emotions say you can't. The life of God in you can. Because God's life is love. And if you're born again, that love is in you. Don't suppress it. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know that for some Christians, honestly, some Christians, based on what I've heard them say and what I've seen them post out there on social media, I would not be surprised if there are a lot of Christians who would hear this message and just hate me as a result. Well, how much have I said? I haven't given you any opinion. I haven't. I've shared with you the Word of God over and over again. I've shown you what God has to say in His Word. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Meaning, God is the one who has given us this treasure. Verse 6, He caused His light, the light of glory, to shine in us. It came from Him. We didn't do it on our own. Therefore, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now what's he talking about? First off, verse 6, that light, the light of God, the light of glory, the light of His life, it shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be shining through us. And then he reminds us in verse 7, hey, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is not something that is waiting for you in heaven. You have this treasure right now in this earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then he says, we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. Well, according to some Christians, we're really distressed. Or at least they are. Yeah, we're troubled. How are we troubled? Guys, Noah, he was troubled. He builds an ark. Nobody wants to hear what he has to say. Hey, think of it this. What in the world kind of things do you think were said about the Apostle Peter after the Ananias and Sapphira incident? Now think about this. We read the scriptures, but guys, put yourself in the story. You imagine? Service is over, and you know how people are. They make things what they want them to be. You're not going to believe it. I don't know what the guy did at Peter, but I don't know if he poisoned something and gave it to him. All I know is this. He killed those two people. He killed them because they didn't give right in the offering. Come on. I ain't going back to that church. Who knows what... I mean, he's got some kind of devil or something. He curses people. I saw him. He looked right at them and he went boogie, woogie, woogie. And down they went. And my son had to spend half the day digging graves. I'm telling you right now, people are people, and I don't know this for a fact, but it won't surprise me if we find out when we're in heaven, when we're with the Lord forever, that, yeah, people went out from that day and said some nasty things about the Apostle Peter. Because you know how people are. Well, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Okay, you've got a lot of people out there, Christians, the way they're talking. You'd think that we are troubled and we are distressed. We are perplexed and in great despair. We're persecuted and forsaken. We're cast down and we're destroyed. You expect them any minute to start singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Folks, we're always, verse 10, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ, of Jesus, might be made manifest in our bodies. What does that mean? That means we are mortifying the flesh. We are mortifying those feelings of being distressed, of being perplexed, of being in despair, of being persecuted, being forsaken, being cast down. We're mortifying the emotions of all that stuff that is happening. He's not saying this stuff isn't going on. He's saying it is happening out there in the world. It's happening. This is reality. However, we don't let it enter in. We are dying daily to the emotions of this stuff, to the flesh of this stuff, and we're lifting our hands and we're praising God and we're staying focused on Him, and it doesn't matter who's in charge. And some of these people hearing this and the man who wrote this were executed for their beliefs. And yet, they stood strong. I'm not saying we're going to be executed. Please don't twist my words. But what I'm saying is this. We have to come to this place of being able to stand up and say, yeah, okay, I look around me in this country, and there's a bunch of stuff that stinks. And, to quote from Scripture, yeah, we in the body of Christ, in the natural, we are troubled on every side. We are distressed. We are perplexed. You know, we are persecuted. We are forsaken. We're cast down. But the thing is, God is still working through us. The thing is, Jesus Christ is still working through us. The Holy Spirit is still working through us. And we're going to have revival. It's going to happen. No matter who's in charge, this is going to happen because politics, politicians, and whoever's in charge, they can't legislate revival. It is a work of God. And this is where we have to be. This is where our life has to be now, regardless of what's happening in Washington, D.C., or who's the governor, or who's the mayor. God says, give thanks. God says, intercede. God says, pray. God says, zip your lip if you think you're about to say something that falls into that category of evil and wickedness. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. Rejoice in who you are in Christ. Because in Christ, listen, in Christ, you are above all that stuff. We're the head, not the tail. We are seated with Him, seated in Him, in heavenly places. That's who we are. So, it's like the Apostle Paul talked about, well, you know, if I die, I still gain. I just go on to be with the Lord. You know, but to me, to live as Christ. That needs to be our testimony, to me, to live as Christ. And so, when we start bellyaching, we start fussing, we start complaining, we start all the name calling, we start doing all this stuff, then what we're doing is darkening this light that God has shined in our hearts. And the more it gets darkened, the less it shines through us to give testimony of the saving power of the blood of Jesus. We cannot do that. So you know what? Whatever happens, hey, we sang a song earlier in the service, Alpha and Omega. God is Alpha and Omega. Whatever happens, you know what? I know the Alpha and Omega. He's my God. He's my Father. I know Him. I'm going to make it through. We're going to come out on the other side. Well, do you think Donald Trump will run? I don't know. Well, who do you think will run? I don't know. The fact of the matter is, I hope somebody on fire for God runs and gets elected. But if not, I am not in despair. I am not forsaken. I am still a child of God. And I'm still going to live for Him. And I'm encouraging you guys here tonight, those of you watching and listening to this, stay focused on Jesus. Don't get caught up in the rhetoric and in the sharing of rhetoric. Give thanks for those in authority. Pray for those in authority. Whether we agree with their policies or not, lift them up before God. Speak blessings over their lives. Because when we do this, we're going to have an impact in the realm of the Spirit. And quite frankly, it's going to be easier for God to move in their lives when we are speaking these things in their direction. Praise the Lord.